Hey everyone, good morning and happy Sabbath to you. Welcome to the live stream and Facebook Live. We're glad that you're joining us, and I'd love to ask you to just comment and let us know where you're watching from this morning. Happy Sabbath, you guys.
Happy Sabbath. Yeah.
Welcome to PVC. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Regardless of the circumstances, we are rejoicing today. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to be here and to be able to seek God's face and to be family of God together in this place. I love those words. I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I was reading here in Psalm 84, where, and starting in verse 1, says, how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise. So that's how I woke up this morning. I woke up this morning longing to come to church. And it's good to be here. I got to tell you the truth. I'm missing you. We miss you. It's just, you know, we just like, to come together and lift our voices in praise as a congregation, that's the part that I'm missing, the part of going, so glad we can connect in this way and remind ourselves of God's goodness and that this is the God who is for us and not against us. I have one more verse I want to share with you this morning, and this is a word of good news from Isaiah, who was the gospel prophet. In Isaiah 25, he says these words. He says, he, that is the Lord, will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Let's pray together as we begin our time together. Lord God, we are so grateful to you for this privilege to be together in the name of Jesus. Thank you for every blessing you pour into our lives through Christ. And thank you, Lord, for this great privilege of being the family of God together. We have come here as you've called us to come and to seek your face. And Lord, we have come with ears that are ready to hear. Lord, we long to see you. We long to hear a word from you. We long and feel such a blessing to walk in step with you. So, Lord, please send your Holy Spirit into our hearts, into every home, into the heart and life of every individual who is listening. And together, may the goodness of the Lord give blessing to our lives this day, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, guys, good to be here.
Pastor, good to be here. Schoch,
good to see you here this morning. And Pastor Greg, it is just a privilege to be here in the name of Jesus. And there's a story that we've been thinking about this week. And it's a story that some of you will remember. If you may look it up in your Bible there in 2 Kings chapter 6. And it's the story of a little town, a village called Dothan. Actually, it was big enough to have a wall around it. And it's a place where the prophet Elisha went. In fact, let's turn there to 2 Kings and chapter 6. Look what he says.
While we're turning over there, I just wanted to jump in and say a couple words real quick about how we stay connected and do a couple of quick things.
Oh, yes,
so,
please.
Glad you guys are joining, and if you're just joining in, happy Sabbath. We're making every effort to do our best to stay connected with each other during these times of social distancing. And so wanted to kind of pull you guys in and help you to be included and connected here at Pleasant Valley. First of all, if you're just joining, drop a comment here on Facebook Live and let us know where you're watching from. And throughout our time together this morning, I want to just encourage you. We want to hear your comments and receive your feedback. So if you have a prayer request to share, if you have a comment or maybe a question for one of the pastors, or as we're going to be interviewing Danny Gorton in a little bit, you can you can share a question right in the comments. We're doing our best to monitor those. So That's one way you can be connected. Another way that we want you to be able to connect is through Zoom video conferencing. And this week, we've been working hard. A lot of people have been working hard this week to make Zoom happen. And what that allows us to do is all of our adult Sabbath schools, I think every adult Sabbath school except for one, is meeting this week on the Zoom platform. And if you want more information about that, just head over to the church website, pvclife.com, and you'll see a blog post that I just put up this morning that has the schedule of all the classes, when they're meeting, and how to get connected with those. So check the church website for that. Some of them have already happened, but there are some Sabbath school classes that are happening this afternoon, and one or two that are starting right after this broadcast is done. So we'd love to have you join us for a Sabbath school class, and it's really easy to do. You can click to join. It'll do a small download, and you're in. So pretty much, it's a good platform, and Pastor George, you've had some experience with it this week, right?
We have. We did with Wednesday Bible Fellowship, and that was really went well. It was really neat to see all the people. I think 15, 16 people came on, and at one point just kind of learning how to do this thing. So it worked well.
If you're in a place where you don't have access to some of the technology, but you have a telephone and you want to be a part, you can actually dial in by telephone and be a part of those Zoom video conferences. So I am available. I know that Pastor Shoak and Pastor George are available to help with that. So if there's anyone out there who's having trouble getting connected, one of our goals is to keep you guys connected and have this experience of social distancing be the best possible experience and where we can stay socially connected. One other thing I want to mention is that we as a church family want to love and support each other during this time. And I know that there are challenges that come, and sometimes we don't always know about those things as soon as we might. And so I would just encourage you, if you know somebody who is feeling discouraged or alone, if you know somebody who is sick, if you know somebody who maybe is having their work impacted and is in a financial situation where they need assistance, please reach out to us at the church and let us know. You can send an email to office@pvclife.com, and that's one way. And Pastor George and I are both happy to hear from you, Pastor Shoak as well, on via our cell phones or emails. Let's just communicate with each other, and let's look out for each other as a part of the body of Christ that we just really do our very best to support in every way we can.
And you know, part of that support would be for us to be praying for each other. And I know that as I think about these prayers for each other, and I had a conversation yesterday and even a conversation already this morning, hearing what a challenge it is for those who are working in hospitals and clinics. So please, please keep those in the front lines. Please keep them in your prayers. And let us know if there are people that we could be lifting up or should be lifting up in prayer as well. And in fact, Pastor Greg, is it possible to send in any prayer requests while we're here this morning as well?
Sure. If you have a prayer request that you want to send, just go ahead and use the comment section. You can send a prayer request that way. If it's something that's more personal and you don't want to put that in the comment section, you're welcome to send a text message to my cell phone, 503-927-2421, and we can pop that up in the comments.
Yes. So let's go back then to 2 Kings chapter 6. And thank you, Pastor Greg, for reminding me that we needed to just share that information with you and just to stay together, kind of our PVC Life segment here of our morning together. So here we are in 2 Kings chapter 6. And you'll remember what's going on is that the king of Syria is plotting. In fact, he's gone to war against Israel. And he's serious. He's gone to war, and they have their plans in place. And he shares the plans in kind of strategic meetings with his counselors and his inner core there, kind of his cabinet. And what happens is the things that they are saying quietly in secret to each other, they say, well, we're going to set up camp over here and make our attack from this place and go against Israel. The next thing you know, the Israelites already know about it. And this king of Syria is going, what's going on? How come everything I whisper in secret here is something that the Israelites already know about? And what's happening is that Elisha, the prophet of God, the Lord, the Spirit, is revealing to him where it is that the attack is going to come from next, from which direction. And the Israelites are ready, and he's going, what's going on here? And in fact, the king actually even challenges his team and just says, hey, is there somebody here that's a spy? Is somebody actually telling the Israelites what's going on? And then his servant, one of his team answers and says, none. I'm in verse 12. None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. He says, the stuff you're saying here, you think it's in secret? The prophet of God is actually, through the Spirit of God, is actually having those words revealed, and he's actually telling his king what you're talking about. And he said, go and see where he is. This is the king now of Syria. He says, go see where he is, that I will seize him. And someone said, behold, he's in Dothan. So he sent there horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night, and they surrounded the city. So, you know, you look at that situation, you're going, whoa. I mean, they figured out where he was, some spy from somewhere. They say, hey, he's in this town, he's in Dothan. They send the army, they surround that city of Dothan. And that night, they snap the trap shut. There is no way for Elisha to escape them. Then we'll look what happens next in verse 15. When the servant of the man of God, this would be the servant of Elisha, the next morning gets up early, he went out, and what does he see? An army with horses and chariots. I'm in verse 15. An army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? We're stuck. There is no way out for us here. And that army is so great, they're going to overwhelm our defenses. And there's no way we can get away. There's no hope for us. And his fear level just went right to the top. Anybody noticed fear with people around you in our city in the last week? Someone even mentioned to me, they said, man, people are even driving differently. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, it's true.
People are driving. People are just on edge. And this man, this servant, knew exactly what that fear that was rising in his heart.
Circumstances.
There it is.
I mean, when we focus on circumstances, a lot of times those things are fear-producing and anxiety-producing. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're surrounded by folks, and often we fall into that place as well.
Yeah.
Of our circumstances are perceived by us as our reality, and we're not seeing a bigger picture. And it can be these times of fear, they're real. I've had people ask me serious questions this week and about, is this, you know, the end of the world, and those kinds of thoughts that people are having. And
yes.
And also you just see the underlying stress that people are experiencing right now.
Right.
And the background levels of stress are kind of pushing people to the place where you don't have a lot of reserves. And so, you know, it results in you know, people being crabby to each other in the grocery store, or, you know, and so it's definitely a present reality for us.
Yeah.
You know, this week I went to the grocery store to get some ingredients for a vegan chicken curry because the chicken was vegan. So
you had to work that in, didn't you?
I know, I just had to. Sorry, I'm poking a little fun at Pastor Greg here. But while I was in the grocery store.
I'm glad it's rubbing off on you, by the way.
It's true. I walked into Winco hoping to get the ingredients that I needed, and instead I was met with just metal fixtures of shelvings. That's it. There was not even boxes for the produce and all the other things. And I saw a man walking around with his phone out, FaceTiming his girlfriend, just showing the absolute scarcity around him,
yeah.
You know? And I just watched how people were trying to dive in and out of the aisles with their carts. And I just like stopped, and I just looking at the situation, and it just hit me. It was like, you know, the circumstances are making people look for hope within themselves. Mm-hmm. They don't have hope. So they're going and running here, running there, trying to find their own saving grace, their own hope.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it was just, like, I could stand and I can watch it and know, like, oh my goodness, like, God is way bigger than these circumstances. These circumstances, like you're saying, don't speak the actual reality that we live in. You know, so his truth speaks actual hope, healing, saving, so I don't have to be afraid in the midst of chaos. Like how the servant, he sees these chariots around him, these horses. But that's not the true reality, because there's more around those horses and chariots than the ones that he can actually see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, let's continue the story here. Back in, in verse 16, I want to repeat again. Actually, starting in 15, the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do? You know, we're surrounded. There's no way out for us." In verse 16, what does Elisha say? "Do not be afraid." I love this verse. "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." He says, don't be afraid of that. And then Elisha prayed. And think about the power of prayer here. Elisha prayed, and his prayer is, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord answers the prayer. It says, "The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha."
So good.
What a picture.
So good.
You got to love how willing God was to open his eyes.
Mm.
You know, like, he wants us to see. And that prayer, like, you even challenged us a few weeks ago, "God, help me be desperate for your love. Help me be desperate for you." And this prayer is a prayer of desperation. And God just, he doesn't take time to think about the prayer. He just does it just like that. So
it's amazing. It's a gift. I love Ray Ammon has been encouraging me with the words, "the gift of desperation."
The gift of desperation.
The gift of desperation. And I know that some of you who are watching will relate to coming to a place in your life where you're just, you go from feeling, you know, kind of dead to no emotional response to this place of, like, desperation, like, I'm ready to make a change and nothing's going to stop me from making a change. And that's a gift from God.
Yeah.
So the gift of desperation. And the idea of being able to have God open our minds to see beyond our immediate circumstances. I love that. And the connection we were talking about this week with the song that has become a part of our worship experience here, the song "Surrounded," and the bridge of that song says, "It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you."
Mm-hmm.
And that's so powerful. Ooh, in this story, this picture of someone whose circumstances are just totally overwhelming, and then God opens his eyes to the reality, and what's real is more than what his circumstances looked to be. And the reality was that God had him surrounded, and that he was in God's care and protection. And how many of us are experiencing potentially fear and anxiety right now? But that's not what's real. What's real is that we are surrounded by God's goodness, by his powerful angels, by his protection. And God can open our eyes to look beyond our circumstances and the things that we're feeling crushed by, and to be able to see things from his perspective. And that changes everything.
I love
that. I think, Pastor Shook, you were sharing that you had the opportunity to kind of watch this in real life recently.
Yeah, I have a pretty cool story to share. So recently, two high school students came up to me asking for prayer, and one of the individuals, you can just see on them, they were surrounded by this burden, this guilt, this lie around them. And so sat down, having a conversation with them, and literally all we did was go into the truth. So as we're going into the truth, explaining to this individual what Jesus had done for them already, you could start to see the truth overcoming the lie. The individual ends up confessing the lie, which is, God will truly never be able to forgive me completely.
That was the lie they'd been living
yeah.
under.
Yeah. Because of the circumstances that they had brought on themselves.
Uh-huh.
God will never truly forgive me. Because of the passages of scripture that we're going through, it was actually Ephesians 3, 14 to 21, mm-hmm. how he rooted and established that individual in his love, because his love speaks a better word than anything else. His blood has established her. As this individual kept saying over and over again, "I am his child. I am his child. I am forgiven. I have the fullness of his forgiveness. The more she started saying the truth over her life, you could start to see the burden, the lie escaping, to the point that she was believing in the power that was given to her by the blood of Jesus to speak at the lie, rebuke it, rebuke the devil. And this individual walked in with, you know, just shoulders down, sagging, burden on her shoulders, to chest out, back straight, walking in confidence, knowing that wherever she goes, God is with her, right?
Yes.
And the truth is over her.
Yes.
And her life is dictated by what he did for her, not anything that she has done, not her circumstances, not the lies, nothing. So she has been given full power and authority because of the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, this is a win-win situation, because being part of that conversation was really cool, really uplifting, all that stuff. The things that she was sharing, though, in the conversation, it was like God was working on my heart to say, hey, these are things that I'm also working in your heart, Ashok. So later I go home, go to the secret place, confess similar lies that the devil is trying to speak to me, rebuke it in the name of Jesus, and now I know, no, I am forgiven. Mm. I am fully forgiven.
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win.
In Jesus Christ, it's always a win-win.
Always.
You try to encourage somebody, you get encouraged.
Exactly.
You try to bring somebody into to see some freedom that maybe they haven't seen, God takes you into a greater place of freedom in your own life.
Yep.
Love
it. And what's crazy is, just to kind of wrap up the story really quickly, we went into Ephesians 6, which talks about the armor of God, right? And you look at this story, like, they are surrounded, right? But this individual, as we read the story of Ephesians 6, the armor of God, we learn that we can stand according to his mighty power and his armor that he has placed on us. So all we literally do is just stand. In the midst of circumstances, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of whatever fear, lie that the devil tries to throw at us, we can literally just stand because of his mighty power that extinguishes all the flaming arrows of the evil one.
Oh, amen. Amen. Thank you.
Wow.
That's powerful. And again, the name of the song you referenced.
Oh, Surrounded.
It's called Surrounded.
Yeah, Surrounded.
We're surrounded by him.
Yeah. It may seem like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And, you know, love it that the connection, the intro to that is there's a table that he's prepared for me. In the presence of my enemies, it's your body and your blood you shed for me. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how
just
I
a
fight
reminder
my
that
battles.
Our battles are fought as we rely on what Jesus did for us, and as we come to communion and the bread and the cup, and just are reminded that we receive. It's a beautiful picture of the gospel there too.
And I'm just going to say this. I've had a couple of people say to me how much they miss the music of us singing here and praising God together. But that would be a song to go and look up today, that Surrounded song.
Yeah.
There's another one, The God of Angel Armies. I'm not sure if that's the title.
That's a good one.
But that one certainly speaks to these chariots of fire.
Amen.
That we just encourage each other and ourselves as we worship together with both praise and prayer.
Can I add one more song to that?
Please.
No Longer Slaves by Bethel. So I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And we've been given full access, full freedom, full saving power because we are children of God. He made us his child. So
I see that
in the midst of this fear, we don't have to fear.
Hannah already jumped on and shared a link in the comments to the song Surrounded. So
nice.
Awesome that you guys are following along. Thanks for sharing.
Amen.
This is exactly what we'd hoped for by pushing into Facebook Live, is that we would have more of a two-way conversation. And I love seeing the prayer requests. I know some of them have been up on the screen. Thank you to the tech team for getting those on there. A lot of prayer requests. And one of the things that's great, we're going to pray in just a minute. Pastor George is going to kind of close this segment up. One of the things that's cool is because the prayer requests are there in the comments, we're not going to be able to get to all of them, but you and we together as the church can cover all of those prayer requests as we pray for one another. I love it. Take us home, Pastor George, on this.
Well, just to let you know, I mean, he opened, when Elisha prayed that the eyes of this young man would be open, and his eyes were open, and he saw, and I'm going to read it again, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So, of course, you remember the rest of the story. It says the Syrians came down against him. So they're ready. They said, okay, let's go. Let's charge. And as they came down, Elisha prays again. And he says, Lord, strike this people with blindness. And here's an army that goes blind. And there they are, all these guys with all the weapons, all that they've got. There's no hope for the people of God. Boom, they get struck blind. And as he prayed it, then he said to them, to the army, he said, this is not the way, this is not the city. Follow me. And so here is this army that's been blinded who follow him. He led them where? To their capital city of Israel, Samaria. He leads them there. When they enter Samaria, Elisha prays again and says, oh Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. Isn't this amazing? He even opens the eyes of his enemies. He opens the eyes not only of his own people, but God, this is the God who so loved the world. And he opens the eyes of the enemies. And when they saw where they were in the midst of Samaria, and they went, oh my, and the soldiers then said, hey, should we strike them down? And he goes, no, don't strike them down. Those you've taken captive with your sword and your bow, set bread and water before them that they may drink and go. He actually gave them a feast. And they ate, and they were fed, and then he said, you can go home. He set his enemies free. I just love this picture of what God does and what he is doing and intends to do in our lives. So right now, we want to just take a moment.
Can I add one more thing, actually, please, to that? So, you know, the God of the Old Testament sometimes gets this bad rap that he's angry and mean and all these things. But this story shows how merciful, how compassionate God is. Because, yeah, those guys could have been just absolutely annihilated, right? But instead, they're led to safety. They're given food. They're given water, all these things. And they receive, I believe, it's an act of mercy because their lives were spared.
Absolutely.
And so I look at the circumstances that we're in right now, even when other people may be blinded by what the actual truth is, we're meant to be reflections of his mercy, channels of his grace and his mercy in this time, because we can see, we believe that we can see the goodness of God, and we should be able to reflect it out to other people so we can give them hope and light in a chaotic world right now that we're living in.
Yeah.
So I think that, like, for me, when I was reading that passage, the take home for me was, hey, we're meant to be acts of mercy. You know, we're meant to be channels of grace and mercy for the people around us.
Yes.
Whether they can see or not, they're not less than or more than or whatever. They're our brothers and our sisters. And yeah, we're just meant to reflect his light. Yeah.
Amen.
So the prayer was open their eyes, open his eyes. And as we go into prayer, that can be one of our prayers, is that our eyes will be open to what's real.
Yes.
And not just to the circumstances that we're confronted with.
Amen. Yeah. Shoke, would you please lead us in prayer here?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you are the light of the world. Thank you so much that you have all authority over this world. The circumstances, they try to speak fear, lies, even death. But Lord, you are life. And
Amen.
So we just thank you that you are sovereign, that you have all authority.
Yes.
And so Father, like in this story, allow us to see. We want to be desperate to see you, Father. So bring us to that place of desperation where we can see you clearly, see how you're above all of these things, that you're working mighty, mighty works in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And I just pray that your saving power will be over all of us right now. Specifically, I want to pray for Judy Doty. I want to pray for Judy Shaler.
Amen.
I want to pray for Jenny.
Yes.
I want to pray for Jody.
Yes.
I want to pray for Randy, Liana, baby Zion, anyone who is sick right now, anyone that is dealing with different illnesses. And I just want them to know right now that you are the master healer, that their lives are in your hands, that you love them, that you are in the core of them. And your love is better than life itself, Father. So we just claim your promises that you will never leave us nor forsake us, and that nothing will separate us from your love because of Christ Jesus and what he's done for us. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
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 Thank you for that prayer, Pastor Ashok. And just know this, as you've shared prayer requests, Danny, you can go ahead and come on in. We're going to be interviewing Danny Gorton here in just a minute. You going to stick by, Pastor George?
Sure.
Just wanted to say, if you shared a prayer request and we didn't pray for it out loud, know this, you're being prayed for right now. People are reading those prayer requests in the comments section. We're lifting those things up. And just grateful for the opportunity to be the family of God together, even in the middle of what we have going on. Yeah. Danny Gorton,
hey.
You are a ray of sunshine, my brother, and I'm so glad to see your smiling face.
It's good to be here.
The people who are watching online get to see your smiling face. We get the double benefit because we get to see the smiling face of your lovely wife, Sarah, who's
Absolutely.
Here. And so, Danny, I'm excited to just have you have an opportunity to share with church family a little bit about where you see God at work in your life and the things that he's calling you into. But why don't you start us off? Just give us a quick history of Daniel Gorton.
Yeah, so I was born in Mountain View, California in 1991 and lived in Corvallis, Oregon. We moved like 2 weeks after I was born in Mountain View. So I can't really say I was born and raised in Oregon. I can just say that I was raised in Oregon. But we moved to Corvallis, Oregon, and then lived there till 2006, moved to Hillsboro, and then moved here and went to Oregon State. I worked for Kaiser Permanente.
Growing up in Corvallis, did you have any choice but to be a Beaver?
No, I came out of the womb orange and black. Like, I was ready, man. Like,
if you know Danny, you'll know this. There's probably no greater fan of the Beavers than Danny. And
I know a few.
Yeah.
But,
okay. Yeah. All right. Anyway, you're serious about this thing, and you can recount the great moments of Oregon State history.
I can.
And, I'm just so glad I said the right university right there. Okay. Anyway,
I didn't have to correct you.
So, Danny, tell us how you ended up at Pleasant Valley Church.
Yeah. So I had come back from college and was going to Hillsboro for a little bit, and Hillsboro Seventh-day Adventist, and met this girl at the beach and at my church down in Corvallis, and who is now my wife, Sarah, and really fell in love with the gospel that was preached here at PVC. Just really felt like everyone that I met really was in love with Jesus and in love with that which he spoke about us, and really took the word seriously, but not in a condemning way, in a loving, convicting, freeing way.
Awesome.
And that's what I fell in love with here at PVC.
But let's also be honest, Danny.
But yeah.
Like, you didn't have any choice to go anywhere else. when you and Sarah started dating, I came alongside you one day and said, Danny, you do know that you will come to Pleasant Valley,
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much.
and I also wanted to give a shout out to Oregon Young Adults and the fact that Danny and Sarah got to know each other in part because of Oregon Young Adults and Oregon Young Adults events. I remember being over at the beach together for a young adult retreat over there.
Yep.
Pastor Benjamin was there for that one.
Yeah.
And I remember having a conversation with you that weekend and stuff.
Yeah, I saw you walk off with Sarah, and I was like, I think he knows her pretty well. I should talk to him a bit more.
Well, we love it when God does things like that. Yeah, and you
out.
And Sarah together are such a blessing to our church family and part of young adult leadership here at Pleasant Valley. And let's talk for a minute. I want you to share a little bit about how God put a passion in your heart for collegiate ministry.
Yeah. So growing up in Corvallis, I mean, like, the college is literally everything in Corvallis. So, like, you grow up, like, not just the athletic events, but just everybody in the town just cares about the college kids, and you get a new crop of college kids every year. So it's like, you know, it's constant cycle. It's new kids at the church every weekend, and you just get to enjoy their company. You get to be babysat by them. You get to just do all kinds of fun things, like go on hikes. And honestly, it became my life. Like, it was everything to me. It was family and college. Like, I was in college for 4 years, but honestly, I've been in college my whole life, technically, right?
Yeah.
And so I just remember, you know, having Friday nights with, you know, families and students, and just the ability to be a child and grow up with mature. I mean, I know college students aren't the most mature people in the world, but but a lot of them are.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are wonderful people. And to be a child and be able to grow up in that atmosphere, honestly, is why.
It's like having a whole bunch of older brothers and sisters.
It is.
My kids have had the blessing of being in that with Pleasant Valley Young Adults. And when you got to college, the Corvallis Church has a really strong collegiate ministry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And you were a part of that.
Yeah, there's a couple at the Corvallis Church, Bruce and Bethany Pratt, and there's a few other couples that host the college kids every Friday night, and we just have dinner and we just hang out. And often when you're in college, like, all you want is a home. You just want, yes, like carpet and a couch, and you just want to sit there and just be yourself. Like, you don't need a lot. You just need food and friendly conversation and safety. That's what you need. Because the dorm isn't, I mean, I went to public college and I love public college. Like, that's where my passion is. But like, the dorm isn't, it's not a bad place to be. Like, it was a safe place for me to be, but it wasn't like a godly place for me to be. Mm-hmm. So Friday night was just wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Bruce and Bethany just loved the university students, and that experience really you shared with me was a catalyst for a calling that God has given you to work in collegiate ministry.
Yeah, absolutely. I honestly just want to pay it forward in some way, you know, like when you're loved, oftentimes and you're loved in a particular place, you end up loving other people in that particular place going forward as well. So that's been my passion, my calling, is just opening our home, opening a space, creating a space for kids to just know that they are loved, that they are valued, that they are free from sin, that they are God's child. And there's no questions about that. Like, that is who they are. That is what they are.
Yeah.
That is their identity. Yeah.
I'm going to say, I know that that's the message I've heard you share. I saw you once on live stream with, I think it was down at the Walla Walla School of Nursing. And I know you have a real passion to create that kind of space and to lift up that kind of Jesus for your generation and the generation that's falling right behind you.
Yeah, and it's funny because when I was in college, I'll be honest, like, I didn't entirely know that I was loved, free, God's child, valued. I knew it, but it hadn't settled into my heart yet. It hadn't become like a reality for me. And so, in a roundabout way, again, I knew it, but establishing and creating like an atmosphere for young people to like actually experience what it's like to actually be God's child and to not need anything else, because I needed a lot of other things in college that I didn't actually need. And it led to some pain in my life. And I get that we learn from our mistakes, but I think that having that atmosphere and creating that atmosphere for those that need it can mitigate some of that pain. And it can also, like, I mean, if you create an atmosphere for a college student and it doesn't entirely speak to them at that moment, they'll call you 5 years later. Like, it's just how it works.
Yes.
And and I'll be there for that call.
Mm-hmm. We plant seeds.
Exactly.
That's
sometimes
right.
Later there's an opportunity to reap a harvest, and sometimes that may be someone else, but the long-term responses of people.
Yeah.
Danny, you've gotten free in Christ, and God is using your freedom to be able to be a blessing to others. And I'm going to come to that in just a second, but I want to just say to you who are watching, if you have a question for Danny, we don't have a lot of time left in the interview, but if you have a question for Danny, fire away in the comment section. I'm going to do my best to make eye contact with Danny and she, on the computer here to look at comments. But
I'll say one quick thing too that came to my mind. There's a temptation often with young people to just Jesus them, right? To just like give them as much information as you possibly can, right? And then just like hope that it works out. But I would encourage people to, you know, create that safe space where Jesus is a topic of conversation, but not forced, you know, something that is, and make it available outside of that time. I think a big thing that's worked really well with the Walla Walla nursing students is creating this atmosphere where they can just come and be. And then they can, I let them know, hey, if you guys want to talk about Jesus outside of this, like, I'm free. And I've had Bible studies with students that have reached out to me, and it's been awesome. So
Jesus them, but not just with content.
Yeah.
Jesus them with the love of Christ.
Yeah,
and with
your
safety,
life.
With space, with your life.
Yeah, food too.
Yeah. And food. I think I heard food.
Yeah. Just show up hungry.
And yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
It's good. It's awesome, Danny, that God has been opening up the doors. And I know public campus ministry is something that is really, because of your experience at OSU, it's something that really is in your heart. But also, sometimes we work with what God has put in front of us, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's been awesome, like living here in the Portland area and being married to a nurse who has gone through the Wall Nursing School program. We have a very good connection now with the Wall School of Nursing. And, you know, there's 140 18 to 22 year olds at that campus. The majority of them are girls, but there's also a great opportunity of, you know, 15 guys that I'm able to do and journey throughout life with. Mm-hmm. And we've just felt called to just, you know, hunker down, stay here, and get to know them and just be integrated in their life, you know, just be available.
Yeah. Mm. Thanks for answering that call, Danny.
It's been fun, man.
I love the way you I love your heart for the gospel. Mm. I love your heart for these students and the way that you've helped Pleasant Valley be a place where people can that generation can come and feel welcome.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are welcome here. So, and I appreciate Pastor Greg too, like bringing donuts to the Wall students on I don't know, donuts. It's Mondays,
on
I think.
Tuesdays.
One day you couldn't make it, and they were like, man, we missed Pastor Greg this week.
Well, for me, one of the things that's been awesome, there's not a chaplain on the campus there, and so I've been there on Tuesdays, but it's been cool to feel like there's someone else from Pleasant Valley, and it's not just you, you're showing up there regularly and connecting with students, and it's just a way, you know, we where God opens the doors, we step in. We don't have a lot of time to talk about this, but I want to just give you a chance to share briefly, like, recently God opened a door for you to go into a place where the doors aren't usually open, and that's right into prison.
Yeah, it's been quite an experience. Me and my friend, my best bro, Nick Nulcher, he felt called a couple months ago to just start going to Oregon State Penn with, with
the church ministry.
Ministry, Calvary Chapel. And we've had a door open for us to go and start, you know, hanging out with. Well, I go about once a month. He goes a couple times a month.
And you guys aren't able to go right now because of everything that's going on with COVID-19. But
we were supposed to go last weekend, but that didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But
To me, that just fits the theme of saying, like, I'm going to go where God calls. I'm going to minister with what God has put in front of me and say yes to God and just step into what.
Yeah.
Well, and it's amazing because, like, yes, the gospel can be complicated, but the gospel is so simple. Like, it is as simple as God loves you, you're his child, you're free, and you're valued. And it's amazing how speaking that truth or just, like, experiencing life with people and that being the foundation of the relationship can actually change so much. And that's what we've been trying to do with the prison is, like, they do get a lot of information, right? They know a lot of stuff about Jesus, but helping them to see that God sees them this way over how they may feel and over how they may have experienced and over the things that they have done. That's what we've been trying to do lately. But, and it's had a lot of power that we've seen so far. So
yes.
Man, love it.
Thank you. Thank
There's
you, Danny.
Always open invite for more. So,
so Danny, would you be willing to pray for this next generation, this collegiate student? In fact, especially right now with the uncertainty of not being able to be at school and so on, but even more deeply for that they would see Jesus through us, and pray for them and pray for these men you're working with there at the prison
absolutely.
As well.
Lord, thank you so much for your kindness, your goodness toward us, that you have only seen us one way, and that consistency in seeing us leads to just so much life. It leads to everlasting life. I just want to lift up any college students who may be struggling right now or doing well right now. I just want to lift them up, Lord, to you. You know them. You see them. You've always seen them. I just pray truth over their life. I pray value. I pray love. I pray freedom.
Amen.
I pray that if there's anybody in our church or anybody that feels called to just, you know, Venmo them $10 so that they can go get lunch on their break, or call them up to see how they're doing, or to take them out for coffee and just get to know them and listen, just genuinely listen to what they're saying. I'm excited to see people answer that call and to build those relationships, encourage both sides, encourage the people that are building, the people that are college students. And I also want to lift up the prison, Lord, you've opened a door for Nick and I, and definitely for more people. And there are thousands of people in the Oregon State Pen who may not know who they are. And Lord, we really want them to know who they are. We want them to know how treasured and how valued they are, regardless of the things that they have done. Yes, those things have consequences, etc. But Lord, we don't see them through the eyes of condemnation. We see them through the eyes of how you saw us, because we see others the way that you see us.
So, amen.
We love you, and because you first loved us, and in your name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you so much, Danny.
Thank you.
You're off the hook for questions from our Facebook Live commenters. But I will tell you this. Pastor Tracy Wood, our North American Division Young Adult Ministries Director, is watching, and he says, thanks for interviewing Danny. What an inspiration he is. So shout out from Pastor Tracy.
Tracy was one of the people that kept taking me out to lunch, you know, a few years ago. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you.
Thanks again for being here, Danny.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yeah. Wow. That was inspiring. Thank you, Danny. Thank you for sharing that. That was just good, and to know the reality of what God is doing and impressing and leading through the hearts, and to think about all the ways, just like I hear your story, Danny, I'm going, man, since a little boy, you were really being shaped by the Lord for this ministry. That is just such a cool thing. Well, we want to go one more place this morning, and you'll remember PVC. You'll remember that we've been enjoying and just digging into the Gospel according to Luke. And so we invite you to go to Luke chapter 8 this morning, and we want to continue our study in Luke. Luke chapter 8, and as we get there, you're going to see there in verse 4 that there's this great crowd that is gathered, and it's gathered around Jesus, and he begins to speak a parable. And you remember the parable. It's the parable of the sower. You talk about sowing seed here, that he sowed, and as he came and as he cast that seed, that some fell on the path, got trampled underfoot, the birds came and ate it. Some fell on the rocks, and of course on the rocks, they couldn't get enough root. And when the sun came out, they just withered. They couldn't get down there and get the moisture. Some fell among the thorns and got choked. And some fell on good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And then Jesus says these words. And here comes the key. If you talk about a takeaway, but here it is. Here's his word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So we started off this morning with, in Dothan, where eyes were open.
Yeah.
Now we have Jesus saying, hey, keep those ears open, eyes and ears both. And I'm going to read the verses here now, because the disciples hear the parable, and they're going, okay, what does this mean? So we're just going to read the parable, then we're going to talk through this together and dig out the truths that are here. I'm beginning in chapter 8 of Luke, verse 9. So when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But for others, they're in parables, so that seeing they may not see, hearing they may not understand. What? You know, Jesus, what he's saying is, you're not going to find truth unless you really want this thing. You're going to have to go and you're going to have to say, I'm going to give heart, soul, mind, and strength to find the truth about me. Continuing verse 11. Here's the parable. The seed is the word of God. Verse 12, the ones along the path are those who heard. Then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so they may not believe and be saved. So they hear it, but they never come to the place of belief. They go, oh, that's interesting. Interesting. Okay, Jesus is saying this. Interesting. But they never come to that place. Verse 13, the ones where the seed fell on the rock, these are the ones when they heard the word, they receive it with joy. So they're going, hey, yeah. And they say, oh, I believe this. But they have no root. They believe for a while. In a time of testing, they fall away. We come to verse 14 in the third category. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but they go on their way. As they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. Interesting. It actually sounds like they're beginning to actually take some root, and they actually start to grow, and there's even some fruit that's beginning to form, but it never matures. Then we come to this fourth category, the one we want to be. As for that, the seed that fell in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast with an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. In other words, you know, it didn't happen in a day, but they do. They're the ones who will bear fruit with patience as they stay, continue to draw that nourishment from the Lord.
New Living Translation said, and patiently produce a huge harvest.
Oh, I like that. Patiently produce a huge harvest. Yeah.
Sure. You know, one of the questions when I was reading this passage was, what kind of farmer is he? Right? I was thinking about the quote by C.S. Lewis when he's talking about the lion, right? You know, is the lion this dangerous figure, right? And the beaver says, like, well, of course, you know, he isn't safe, but he's good, you know? And in the same way, I think of this farmer. He's hardworking. He's tireless. He's intense, but he's always good. So even in the pruning, he is good. And as I was thinking about this farmer, I was thinking about kind of another story of a similar type of thing, found in John 15, and that's the gardener, or the vine dresser, as it would say, right? And Jesus is saying this on the eve of his death. And he's sharing this, and he's saying, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Believe the words that I've spoken to you because I have made you clean. I have made you clean. This is on the cusp of him dying. So he's full commitment, even before he does the very thing that makes us clean, right? And all he commands is, remain in my love. Remain in me. Remain in my word. Believe what I have done, what I will do over you, and you will produce good fruit. This is the kind of farmer that our Father is. He wants to create good fruit because we're meant, that's what we were purposed to do. To give him glory, to bear good fruit that reflects who he is.
Oh, good.
It was great, Ashok. I'm still processing and raising it. You know that the vine dresser image is one that you know talks about how any branch that doesn't bear fruit, some versions say that he cuts off. Mm-hmm. I actually heard someone talking about vine dressers and saying that. And actually that the language there in the original language is that he lifts up. Could be pruned, but it also could be that, you know, he's actually training and lifting up branches that are unproductive because they're laying on the ground and putting them back up onto in the way that vine dressers do. It's his responsibility to, as we remain connected in him, it's his responsibility as the vine dresser to take care of the production of fruit in our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, when you prune, you actually make more fruit and bigger fruit. Yep. And so that goes back to that huge harvest that we see here in Luke 8.
So, you know, you look at this and you look how easy it would be to miss what Jesus is saying. I mean, I'm thinking back even what we've already looked at in Luke. Like, you know, you go back to that day when Luke was in his own hometown, or when Jesus was in his own hometown, goes to Nazareth, and look at the words that he spoke. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I'm in Luke 4:18. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty those who are oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay, here's words being proclaimed by the Lord. And that would be like, people are hearing it. What happened in his own hometown? They went, huh? Who do you think you are? And they take and actually are ready to, actually it's the first, well, it would be the second attempt made on his life as a baby. His life, Herod was out to take him out. Here his own people are ready to take him out. They won't hear what he has to say. And you think about even the story of Stephen, where it says they actually stopped their ears. As Stephen proclaimed the word of Christ, people stopped their ears and rushed at him before they took his life. They would not hear. So when you think about words that Jesus is giving, and this question is, will we actually hear it? I'm down in verse 18, back in chapter 8 now. Look at these words from Christ. He says, take care then how you hear. Wow, what a warning. Take care then how you hear, because you could be in that first category, you know, and you just, boom, it just there's just nothing in our hearts to receive, and we get trampled on, and the birds come and take it away. Or it could be the seeds among the rocks. We're going, yeah, this is real. Oh, that's really cool. I really had a good time at church, and that was really wonderful to be there. And that LRT, wasn't that great? But it's in our own. We haven't prepared our own hearts, and that it never takes root. And the testing comes, and then we're in trouble. Or that third category with the, what does it say? The cares And that, you say cares, okay, but then riches and pleasures of life, they can get in the way and crowd it out and never bear fruit. Mm. So Jesus says, take care how you hear. Mm. It really matters.
It strikes me there that hearing is a continuous thing. It's not a one point in time kind of thing. That we listen. He talks about hearing and listening here in language. And it says, those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. So, I mean, I think that that's language that calls us into the secret place.
Yes.
The secret place is, it's, I mean, we go to church to listen, but we don't do that. We don't listen just once a week. We listen to the voice of the Spirit. You know, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And so how do we cultivate the ability to listen? And what I would say for me is this learning process of coming into the secret place with the purpose of saying, God, speak, I'm here listening. I think about the words of the little boy Samuel, speak, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Speak.
Your servant heareth. Your servant is listening.
Yes.
To position our hearts and to position ourselves in such a way that we're saying, God, I need to hear your voice. To be listeners.
And I really appreciate you bringing in that secret place. I just started 2 days ago my fifth time through this book called Secrets of the Secret Place. And I did not know as of yesterday, and we've had some conversation leading up here, I didn't know that chapter 3, where I was going to be this morning, I'm on page 11 there, is called The Secret of Listening. And here's this, again, it caught me by, it kind of draws me up short when I hear it. He said, something profound happened inside me the day the Lord showed me the single most important word in the entire Bible. Okay, what's the single most important word in the entire Bible? The Holy Spirit began to extrapolate the truth for me to the breadth of the entire Bible, and suddenly I saw it. The word here is the most important word in the Bible. The most important treasure in the kingdom are predicated upon the necessity of hearing God. Hearing God's voice has become the singular quest of my heart, the sole pursuit that alone satisfies me. The greatest longing of my heart is to hear a word from the Lord. And he says, and when I hear his voice, it's as though heaven leans over and God speaks a word directly to my heart. The Lord will breathe upon a portion of Scripture and personalize it, its meaning precisely to my felt needs. Oh, what glory. And he says, that moment is worth all the knocking and the preceding of the preceding days, all the knocking and the seeking. I will endure months of silence if he will but speak one creative word from his mouth to my spirit. And I go, wow, that's what Secret Place is all about. It's coming, being in the Word, and letting the Holy Spirit bring a word that we hear and we say, yes.
Yeah.
And then our lives come into, we come alive in the Word of the Lord.
Yeah. Pastor Ashok and I have both had the experience of, asking, I think it's, for all of us, it's easy to go to people and want to hear from them. Mm-hmm. Pastor Ashok and I have both had the experience of having Pastor Jonathan listen to us or whatever and then go, what'd your dad say? Mm. Like those words are like,
I kind of want to get a t-shirt that says, what did your daddy say?
Exactly. We need a PVC shirt that says, what did your dad say? Because ultimately it's his word that matters. It's his word that speaks truth over my life. And that truth is all that matters. Mm-hmm. Other people's opinions and the circumstances I face. No, it's his word that matters. And when it comes to us living out the Christian life, it's ultimately his word that matters. I might have cut you off, Pastor.
No, it's good. It's good. When I was reading through this passage and you're talking about this truth that matters, how can I trust that truth? What is it that is trustworthy? His word, right? And I want to share a quick story. So last weekend, I was reading through the resurrection story of Jesus. And something just said, go into the Desire of Ages and look up that chapter. And so I want to read a snippet of it because it's really powerful. So it's Desire of Ages, chapter 81. And the scene is this. It's at the tomb. Jesus is in there. And it's heavily guarded by all these strong, mighty guards,
So that, it's 100 soldiers.
Yeah, yeah. And they're not afraid of anyone, okay? So just imagine that in your mind as I read this snippet of chapter 81 of Desire of Ages. So it says, brave soldiers that have never been afraid of human power are now as captives taken without sword or spear. The face they look upon is not the face of a mortal warrior. It is the face of the mightiest of the Lord's host. This messenger is he who fills the position from which Satan fell. It is he who on the hills of Bethlehem proclaimed Christ's birth. The earth trembles at his approach, the hosts of darkness flee, and as he rolls away the stone, heaven seems to come down to the earth. The soldiers see him removing the stone as he would a pebble, and hear him cry, "Son of God, come forth, thy Father calls thee." They see Jesus come forth from the grave, and get this, and hear him proclaim over the rent sepulcher, "I am the resurrection and the life." So imagine this in your mind. Jesus called out by his Father to come forth from the grave. He's walking out of the grave. He could have just gone full send, full sprint out of the grave, dancing in victory, right? But no, he's walking with the victor's pace out of the grave. He stops, he turns around, looks at the rent sepulcher, this thing that was supposed to be a permanent memorial of the power that would hold Jesus forever in the grave, this thing called death that was supposed to be the thing more powerful than Jesus. Yeah. He speaks over the rent sepulcher and he says, "Allow me to reintroduce myself. I am the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. You that would try to have more power over me, I have now made utterly powerless. Ooh. I am the resurrection wow. and the life."
Wow.
I mean, it was just so powerful as I was reading this, you know, and when he speaks over death, we can read it all throughout scripture. It's because he has full authority given by his Father. He has power over all things.
Yes.
Right? He is sovereign over all things, including death, because he passed from death to life.
Yeah.
So when he speaks a word over us, he says we are clean, that we are free, that we are saved. Guess what? We are clean. We are free. We are saved because of what he has done. And his word is as good as his life.
That's right. Yeah.
Is like our motto here. The blood is better. The blood speaks a better word over our lives.
Ooh, amen. So. Amen. Thank you, Ashok. And that, you know, as you were saying, I was remembering somebody I heard some years ago just said, you know, that stone in front of the tomb was like a pebble compared to the Rock of Ages inside.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out and he comes out victorious as one who has taken the sin of the world, taken it to the grave, but there was no sin in him, death could not hold him, and he rises victorious. And it's exciting because in just a few weeks, we celebrate resurrection and that memory of that event. We're gonna end this passage, and it's in Luke, again, Luke 8. And Jesus talking about taking care then how you hear. Look what he says in 19. Well, as he's speaking, his mother and his brothers come to him. We learn in other passages, other Gospels, that it actually says they were coming because some said that he was beside himself, and there was like, what's Jesus, what's our brother doing? And the brothers convinced Mary to go with them. We're going to have to go and kind of bring him home and kind of get this guy quiet. And but they come to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. It was so great. And then someone told him, Jesus, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. I love these words, verse 21. But he answered them, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And when he says that, he is actually doubling down on what he had just said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The one who hears my word and does it is like one who builds his house on a rock. The one who just hears it, lets it blow by, and does not do it, doesn't follow through, is like building your house on sand. So this is the Jesus who's saying, hear my word, do it. I've given you life. Now follow me.
So we want to end, and we do need to end because we're at our time, but we want to end by asking the question, so how does this make a difference this week?
Yeah.
And I want to ask you to ask that question for yourselves. How does this make a difference this week? I want to share a comment from Jenny Jin. She says, be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46, verse 10. While we're strongly recommended to stay home, let us take advantage of this time and be still to hear his voice. Ooh. So more, and I think Glenn posted something along the lines of more social distancing equals more time available for Secret Place. So maybe the two of you guys could answer the question, what's going to be different? What do you want to do different this week as in light of this passage?
I'm going to let you go first. I need to think about that.
Well, actually, I'm going to say that, Jenny, you just took the words out of my mouth. That I have, as I've begun with the Secrets of the Secret Place again, and as I have doubled down on my commitment to saying yes to really giving quality time with the Lord, that's my commitment now, to how the difference is making in my life. I've continued, but I want to continue and actually expand a little bit more. In fact, right now, Pastor Greg, I've been doing some reading where I start with a psalm, and then I go from a psalm to then one of the prophets, and then from one of the prophets, in fact, right, I just finished Jonah this morning. So I go from Psalm, and then the prophets, and then from the prophets to a gospel, and I want to add an epistle in there. So those four areas of Scripture before ending with this little book and a chapter there. But thank you, Jenny, for that commitment.
Yeah, I think like this story just reminds us that all we need to do is believe. We are that good soil. It reminded me of this passage in Ephesians 2, verse 10, where it says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." So believe that we are that good soil. Good fruit is going to come out of us because of our good farmer, our Father, and just rest in Him.
So good.
Yeah. And you know, when you say we are good soil, because the verses right in front of it say, saved by grace through faith.
Exactly.
Saved by grace through faith. Now that's who we are in Christ.
Yep.
And in Christ Jesus, we're good soil.
Yep.
And then he's going to bring that fruit.
Yep. Yeah. I'm going to claim the last word as my own, I guess.
Please.
What I want to do this week is I want to say no to other voices in order to be able to say yes to the voice of God. Mm. And for me, that looks like being less focused on all of the voices that are kind of anxiety producing. And I want to stay up to date on what's happening, but I don't need to live in that constantly.
No.
And so being able to say no to that in order to be able to say yes to more opportunities to hear the voice of God. And whatever this passage or this time together has brought into your thinking about your own life, I just want to say our prayers are with you as we close our time together. Normally, we might say something like, go out and be the church. But I want to say to you now, stay in and be the church. This is an opportunity for us to be the church, and we want to send you away with a prayer of God's blessing.
And could I just say something here, Greg? And that is that as you were speaking, I was remembering that little phrase years ago. It was good news before the rest of the news. Mm-hmm. And to live in that place is not good if we live in the news, but live in the good news. And then to go out and be the church, just thinking of all the people who need to hear a phone call from us. And they're
just, and by us, you mean all of us.
All of us.
Yes.
I mean, not just us pastors.
We can't do all of the phone calling.
We can't. And because our phone calls, I was privileged to have three phone calls last night, and not one of them was less than 15 minutes. Mm. You know, but it was wonderful. We just had these conversations. So please take your church app, and you can download that. You can find that online. Miranda sent that out again with our email blast. And you can download that thing and just connect with each other. Let's be the church for each other.
Amen.
And our neighbors.
Amen. Amen. God, we thank you for this time together. And I pray for every person hearing the sound of my voice right now that your Holy Spirit would speak, that we would listen, that we'd be able to hear your words over our life, that we'd be able to be guided and directed by you. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your grace and your mercy.
Yes.
Bless us this day and through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, everybody, for watching.
Amen.
Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath, everyone.